I almost didn't bring Bible study today. I had one subject that I thought I was going to bring a study on last week. And about midweek, I realized that I don't think that's the right one. And then the Lord laid this other point on my heart. And though I've got notes for it and everything, I drove all the way here today thinking, I don't know if this is the right one either. I just don't know if I'm going to be bringing the right study. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs. I want to share with you what was read in the men's meeting this morning. And please, please remember what we just heard. So I want you to remember what Mike just stood before us and brought before us. Help us, O Lord. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 7, we read, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Now drop down to verses 11 and 12. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Lord, help us. Now, if you would turn over to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. Except for the children, I think we can all probably recall a storm or two that we have been through on this journey that we call life. Some of us have been through some very deep and very boisterous storms. We can also probably recall observing others as they have gone through trials or storms. As I have shared with you a time or two before, I have observed my own brother and his wife go through the trial that I can't even imagine the depth or the sorrow that they went through as they experienced that trial, that storm, when their son was taken from them. Sometimes the storm can be something outside of ourselves, or it might even be outside of our personal control, or it might even be something within. A besetting sin can be a very real storm to deal with. Today I want to consider the way that we handle these storms and what we project to others as we deal with these storms, and may our Lord be pleased to bring, that our Lord is pleased to bring our way. And let's begin by looking to God's Word and seeing a storm that our fellow disciples were put in. Are you with me in Mark 4? Let's begin at verse 35. "And the same day, when the evening was come, he," speaking of our Lord Jesus, "saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Who is it that guides our paths? Our Lord. "Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Did you ever wonder that yourself? Master, do you not care? How is it I can have these thoughts in my mind? How is it that I could be angry at this man who cut me off when you brought him, when you guided his path. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Hold your place here in Mark, if you would, and turn over to the 13th Psalm. Oh, how often I need reminding of the 31st and 32nd verses of Romans 8, or verse 20. But verses 31 and 32 say, what shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How can we sit there and say, oh Lord, do you not care that we perish? But I do. I forget. My mind wanders off for a moment and I think I'm a little better than what I was. Or than I am. We're not alone in the shortage of faith, folks. This man who was after God's own heart, this man called David, the king of Israel, a man after God's own heart, was just as acceptable to the weaknesses of the flesh as we are. Are you with me in the 13th Psalm? How long wilt thou forget me, he says. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Sir. Chastening sometimes is not easy. I don't know about you folks, but I find it very hard most of the time. But these two are necessary things, are they not?
Absolutely.
If the Lord doesn't chasten you, are you his? Now look over at the 24th Psalm. Just a few pages to the right. Everything that we know belongs to our Lord.
Amen.
Everything that we have belongs to him. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. I want you to consider for a moment Job. Do you think he was blessed? Do you think he felt blessed at the time he had boils from his head to his foot? Whew. I can't even imagine that. My brother lost one son. Job lost everybody. He lost all of his children. All of that he worked hard for. Everything was gone, except for his wife. And she wasn't any help either, was she? Can you imagine? That's a trial that we can't even imagine, can we? Yet somehow or another, the Lord gave him strength to get through that trial and look back on it and say, blessed am I. The Lord got him through it. Because everything is the Lord's. 24th Psalm, verses 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Our Lord brings the storms of life as well as calming them. For he is the supreme controller of all things. Go ahead and turn back to Mark now if you would. Mark 4, verse 39. And he, speaking of our Lord Jesus, arose and commanded, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. We see in verse 41, the results of these men, and when they looked and saw that the seas were calm, and they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Our God does not just control the wind and the sea, he is God of everything. He is Lord of all. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. All power, all principalities, all things belong to him who is king. And all that is, powers and principalities have been given to him who is the Son of the living God, Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him, in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. He is the King of kings, Lord of lords. All things are of his command. What matter of man is this? He is the God-man, both 100% man and 100% God. He thirsted, he hungered, yet he held the power of everything right there in his fingertips. And he, our Lord Jesus, declares, my grace is sufficient for you. He declares that to me. And I forget all the time. And then he reminds me to go through another trial so that I can see the weakness of myself, that I might look to my Lord Jesus for everything. He draws us to himself. Are you with me in 2 Corinthians 5 or 12? Look at verses 6 and 7. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me, to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Oh, how quickly I can fall back and go to the weakness of the flesh and exalt myself. This is why we suffer these trials. It's to remind us of the condition of ourselves, of our weaknesses, to remind us of our need of Him who has all strength. Not just the big trials like the one that Lee and Shirley went through with the loss of their son, but the little ones that we go through also. Is not doubt a trial or a weakness? Our Lord knows what's best for us. He knows our need. And when we get to thinking too big of ourselves, he knows just how to put us in our place. And he knows the best way to do that. Think about this for just a moment. If we could not see our frailties, if we could not see how weak we are, then why would we look to him for anything? Look at verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. It bothered him so much that he went to the Lord at least three times to say, Lord, please take this from me. Please help me to stop getting angry with those who drive like fools on the freeway. Please help me not to think of how bad my boss might be because he's whipping me. Or whatever he might be doing. Please help me to get along. That's what Paul's doing there. We don't know what that thorn could be. It could be anything. Could be anything. Anything that rubs you wrong in the side. Anything that makes me realize that I'm sinning against my Lord. And he, our Lord Jesus, said unto me, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. By his grace, we are drawn to him, seeking his grace in all that we do and say. I remember a time when I had no desire for the grace of God. I remember a time when there was no prayer from my heart, Lord, help me in my weakness. I remember a time when a song goes, I am weak, but thou art strong, meant nothing. By his grace, I am drawn unto him, seeking his grace in all that I do and say. It is his grace that reminds us the words that we so often refer to in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. It is by his grace that we see the little things as for our good, is it not? It is by his grace that we see all the little things like, why are all the traffic lights turning red on me today? Or, why does it seem I get a step ahead and then I fall two steps back? Why does it seem like I'm always sick or hurting with physical infirmities? Or why is it that a group of people are getting away with the lies that they get away with? Or why do I have to work so much and others don't? Do these things come to you at times? Well, these two are trials. Situations that our Lord has guided us to, that we might see our weaknesses. To see our unworthiness and see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ who went to the cross for us. He sent his only begotten Son to heal the sick, to heal the lame, to heal the deaf, to heal the blind, to heal the proud. By his stripes we are healed. His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. Has God shown you your weakness today? Then look to Christ. Remember what we read in the 13th Psalm, but I have trusted in thy mercy. I have trusted, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. O Lord my God, whatever befalls me, your grace is greater. I praise you, dear Lord, for these trials, for your loving kindness shall get me through them. But most of all, because of them, I look to you. Look at verse 9 through 11. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul goes on to write, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. No, they're not fun. No, they're not easy. And yes, they are very painful. Yet, for Christ's sake, they are necessary. They are necessary. Necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I have become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, Paul says, though I be nothing. Folks, he spared not his own son. How shall he not give us all things? Just as he must go through the cross, just as he shed his shed blood must be our cloak, or we will be found naked in the day of judgment. Just as he must be our substitute, or we are destined to hell, we must go through trials. Gold has to be tried, does it not, to be perfected? Burned? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Make your grace sufficient.